Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
passengers, and gaiety mounted as the floating palace neared her European port. Having crossed from New York to Bishop's Rock off the English coast in 3 days, 10 hours, and 40 minutes, the liner United States established a new Atlantic speed record, July 6, 1952. Cheering crowds at Southampton hailed the American ship that had clipped 10 hours from the transatlantic mark set by Britain's own Queen Mary. Then westbound, the United States knifing through the Atlantic for her second record crossing. It was noted by the builders of the ship that in the event of necessity for emergency conversion to military service, the United States could transport 14,000 men, or virtually a full division, 10,000 miles without putting into port for food, fresh water, or fuel. But for the crew and officials and passengers aboard the liner, the greatest moment was now at hand. The United States was reaching Ambrose Lightship outside New York with the Blue Ribbon of the Atlantic, having made the return trip in a record 3 days, 12 hours, 12 minutes. Saluting the ship whose maiden voyage shattered Atlantic speed marks going over and coming back. At the turn of the century and beyond, Great Britain and Germany dominated leadership in fast Atlantic crossings. Now, for the first time in almost 100 years, the speed crown was claimed by the Stars and Stripes. New York, home port for many of the greatest ships on the oceans, really put on a show. A big broom symbolized the sweep of the Blue Ribbon Speed Trophy by the $70 million United States, America's first lady of the high seas.
Good afternoon and welcome to America's Disabled Veterans in Action. I'm Dr. George Anderson and I'm joined this afternoon by Marilyn Weiss. And this is ADVIA.media. This is Tuesday, November 17th, 2015, and we are here live. I'm very fortunate to be live because I have to make a mention of something because T-Mobile's trying to be funny and they call themselves being facetious. We didn't have a show on Friday, folks, and T-Mobile's trying to value our service at $50. And I believe that our show being followed by 250,000 people, that's worth a hell of a lot more than $50, if you ask me. So T-Mobile, with that little $50, you know you guys can do a heck of a lot better because you cost us a whole broadcast, and I want you to know it that we're talking about it on our show today about the fact of the matter that your service is kind of shoddy, you know, when you have to rely on a phone that's 11 months old and it's meant to be a broadcast phone to get a job done. We have a media organization here that we're trying to run. That aside, let's get back to the show. The Brooklyn Navy Yard call-in number is 347-884-8078, 347-884-8078. Folks, we want to ask you to please remember the SS United States, the world's fastest ocean liner. We're trying to save it from going to the scrap heap. We need your help, folks. We need your help with them. We need your help with ADVIA. So please remember both organizations as you give during this donation season. That being said, Marilyn, what's new and going on in the world in D.C.?
Since tonight is normally about women veterans, we have a situation at our VA here in Washington, D.C., women veterans are not getting their just due. I mean, we already know this, but services, like if you're a women veteran and you request for females, you know, with military sexual trauma, domestic violence, sometimes you don't want a lot of men handling you.
But, I mean, one of the major issues we have right now is dealing with x-rays. We don't have a female tech after 3 o'clock. You cannot get a female tech to do a chest x-ray or any other type, just an x-ray, even if you're uncomfortable with a male doing your x-ray. And it's an ongoing problem, and I'm about sick and tired of it. And but it's not a, I'm only the only one that appears to be having an issue with this or having any type of complaint. I've went to patient advocate. No response. They joke anyway. I don't believe in the patient app, but I went because that's the VA protocol. I've spoken with Dr. Barth, B-O-R-T-H, who is the head of the radiology department at the Washington, D.C. VA. I spoke with him 6 months ago about this issue, and even then he's like, well, he can't guarantee to have a female check on 24 hours a day. I said, but the law, I mean, well, the regulations or the VA law says that if we request for female personnel, we should, one should be made accessible to us. But that's not the case at the Washington, D.C. VA, not even just for x-rays, but a lot of services you may request for a female tech, you're not going to get one. And Lord help you, after hours, you can forget it. They don't even, a lot of them don't even exist. So he wanted to go back and forth with me. Well, what happens if they only have a female doctor? I said, well, if I am able, I'm walking out. If I'm unconscious, I can't say nothing. Or I'm refusing their service and I'm leaving. Because that's the only, I mean, but see, a lot, it's not enough females making this issue, but you know, making a deal out of this. A lot of us will say, oh, well, you know, it's okay for the male to do it this time. Every time you say that, then that lets them know that they don't have to get, you know, that makes your rights, if you request a female, a female person, that makes the right to have it that much harder to get, because they say, well, most females, they say, yeah, and keep it moving. I'm the only one that got a problem. You know, and I'm sure it's other females, but like I said, they don't complain. And they just say, okay, well, we're just going to let them, do whatever they need to do. We're not even going to make a complaint about it. It's okay. As long as it keeps being okay, it's not going to make a change. I ain't but one veteran, so I can't change anything. I have made some changes. I will continue to make this a fight, and I will continue to bring this to the show. And they want it, this Friday is Women's Night at the DCVA. But like I said, I don't, I'm not going anymore because to me it's a waste. It doesn't do anything for women veterans. It doesn't do anything. It's just something that they want to have to make themselves look good. So they don't deal with women's issues. We have no women's support. We don't even have a women's coordinator that's there to deal with or make changes or make for female veterans. I mean, she's only been there 30 years, so what does she care? You know, she can't lose her job, so it doesn't matter to anybody. So I don't think it's fair for me to keep on supporting this program when there's no change. It's not going to change. It's just for showboat. That's all it's there for. You know, it's just for paper. You know, just on paper. Well, we did. We had the Women's Ladies Night. You know, I'm sick of the same old bull crap. You know, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the same old crap. I'm sick of you got the same old people there each year, massages, VVA, who does nothing for nobody. But anyway, that's just me. You know, I don't see the purpose of a women's night. I don't see, you know, it's not making no changes. It's not making the women, it's not dealing with women's issues. There's no change in the situations that we go through. So I figure if that's the case, then why should we, know, why should we continue to support it? You know, why you keep going? It's not worth it to me, but this is me. You know, I'm ready for changes. I'm ready to see things get better. I'm tired of the same old song, different year. I probably won't be going this year. I go to dance because I don't go to none of the stations because it's worthless to me. And all I do is dance. There's nothing else worth doing there to me. But I just say, like I said, I really believe that they need to really use it for what it's supposed to be. Women deal with women's issues and things of that nature instead of feeding us and this nature. Because I don't see where you supporting us, you know, really. You still treat it like crap when you come in there for female services. So I don't see the purpose of the ladies' night. I don't know. You know, I don't see it. But it's just me. Just me.
Yeah, well.
And I don't anymore because it's useless. I can dance anywhere. I don't need to go be dancing. But I'm trying to see support for female veterans. You know, you would think that we as female veterans who want better for ourselves, you know, but I'm the only one that got an issue with the things going on.
Well, we have to do a lot better by our female veterans in D.C. and across the nation.
Yeah, but we as female veterans got to want things for ourselves. You know, we got to get out there and speak out when stuff is not right.
Vince is for you because we don't have a clue of what you need. It's like I don't understand how men vote on female health items because you have no idea of what a woman really needs.
Well,
you may think you know, but you're not a woman, so how would you know?
And VA is a men's society. You know, VA is a male's and always will be male dominant. Always will be. I don't think if it'll change, it won't be in my lifetime, that's for sure. You know, and I always will say, the VA is not for female. It's not female friendly or none of that crap. You know, it's not a female friendly society. And for these females to walk around and think that it is, it's not. Never will never be accepted. You know. I'm about to put the VA in a category that they wouldn't like for me to put them in. But, you know, I mean, my DCV has really taught me the errors of my ways. You know, DCV has really shown me that.
You know, it's true, because they
I'm
don't.
A veteran. I don't feel like a veteran when I go in there. It's not. I really don't. I don't even feel like I'm even considered as a veteran. For the treatment that I get, and things like there was a young lady came in there today, you know, in the rest. You think anybody came up to try to help her? No. She was just as lost. You know, and I sit there and watch this female veteran put them in check. You know, I sit there and watch her. She was very upset. I didn't get involved because the other veteran was handling it. You know. It's just so sad. You know, that's about that, you know, for the nation's capital to be just as, you know, just as uncaring and unsympathetic. I mean, just as my experience, like I said, you know. And then now they're not treating new veterans with hepatitis C. All treatment for hepatitis C. For veterans that have hepatitis C, they're not doing that at the DCVA at this time. All treatment has been suspended. As of 3 weeks ago, all treatment for veterans coming up with hepatitis C hepatitis C is being refused treatment at this time. You know, and I know because I'm one of them, so that's how I know.
Did I just hear you right? All of them?
Yeah. There's no treatment for new cases of hepatitis C for veterans at the Washington, D.C. VA. Yes, you heard me. Loud and clear. Yeah. And I'm telling you because I've been one of the doctors in the that works in the lab. And Dr. Reeves. He's one of the top doctors at the DC that's in the liver clinic at the Washington DC VA. And to me that's negligence because if they would have dealt with mine when I first started showing symptoms instead of keep telling me everything is all right, everything is all right, I probably wouldn't be where I'm at today. I probably would have got the treatment that I deserved and gone on my way. You know, you go up in there and they always run and test, want to do blood tests, and they keep telling you, well, all your labs are normal at this time, really? And then you go, you get frustrated, but you go out to the outside. I went out to the community health clinic, and they do, when you tell me you have hepatitis C, as a protocol, they do the viral load test. The DCVA does not do the viral load test where they tell you have to go every time they want to send you somewhere in the primary care clinic. They do not do that. That is not a test that's automatically done in the primary care clinic. And I didn't know that until it was too late. I didn't even know it. So for almost 2 years, I have not been getting the much care treatment that I need. Had I gotten it, I probably, like I said, all they kept telling me is the enzymes is elevated. It's nothing for you to worry about. Nothing for you to worry about. So now all of a sudden there's something for me to worry about. Well, because they claim they don't have the budget, the pharmacy budget. So they can't treat me. I'm on the list. Now, how many people been on the list before I got on it? That's the million-dollar question. You know, how many people been on the list?
This is another question that we're going to be asking of the Congress because this is something that shouldn't be because if there is a problem, we need to identify where that problem is because there should be funding in the pike for medication for veterans with hepatitis C. There is a community of veterans there in that region. If you're telling me that none of them have it, there are others, and that means that they are in need of treatment too. So what are they doing to them? This is an abuse of your human rights.
Well, you... As a female veteran in that facility, you have no human rights. You have no rights. So.
You're lying to me because I got to make sure somebody knows that you got some rights because that's why we're here.
As a female veteran, you have no rights.
I'm not trying to be mean or uncool or say something wrong, but I'm just saying the fact of the matter is that our veterans' lives matter, male or female. It doesn't matter. The end result of it is that they are veterans and all lives matter.
They take good care of the men. Oh, Lord, have mercy. They take real good care of the men. But us females, and I'm almost so close as to say female veterans of color. I'm so close to even say veterans of color.
It's amazing.
Yeah. is amazing.
You wonder why and you wonder how these things can and do happen. And then we find out, slowly but surely, that they do happen. They happen right under our nose.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, nobody comes out and say anything, and then, you know, they're so used to getting away with this that really, who cares? They used to getting away with this stuff. They are very much used, you know, to getting away with it. Like I said, you know, when I go in there and I look at how the females let stuff go on around, they don't complain, you know, or fight for nothing. It's just amazing. And I just, you know, it's like, and see, I'm listed as a troublemaker because I speak up, so I'm a troublemaker. And by me speaking up, of course, it affects my care because it affects the care that I receive. That's probably why I get treated like I do, because I stand up for my rights and I stand up and I try not to. But it's hard when you're the only one fighting. Like I told the doctor, I'm the only one veteran seems to be coming to you all with this issue, and that's why you continue to do what you do. You continue to do what you do because no one has challenged you but me, and I ain't but one veteran. So, But I said, you know, if I go to that women's veterans crap, oh, yeah, it's on. It's on. So that's why it would be best to behoove me to stay home because it might behoove me to stay home because it's time for some changes, and it really is.
Well, the fact of the matter is that change has been slow to come to the DCVA. We've been on the air for 2 years, and we've seen minimal changes. They talk about a women's clinic. When you approached the secretary this year in August, and his response was no response.
His response was, next question, please. Next question. Very rude. So, you know, you got the people at the top, they really don't care. They don't care. And like I said, I ain't but one veteran making noise. I'm going to continue, you know, because it's just utterly, utterly just ridiculous. It's even hard when you're the only one, you know, just trying to make changes for all females. So, you know, I'm gonna be on their list for a long time, but whatever.
That's true.
Females that don't want to come forward or scared or whatever their case may be, you know, because that's the only thing I say, you know, I think the ladies are afraid to come together and stand. And it's really not about, I don't mean no harm, no disrespect, but a lot
No one likes to get out there and be the leader to take that first step, because it's often a very stressful place to be.
It is.
But
so sad. You know, when I was in it.
You don't speak up. This is what I tell people about it. If you see something as a problem and you don't speak up and say something, you're part of the problem.
Yeah. Exactly. You are.
You know, because, you know, if you talk to your senators, your legislators, different people like that, it's going to make a big difference.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try to do something.
I really do believe that it does make a big difference. But see, in a case of somebody that's living in the District of Columbia, they don't have anywhere to go. And that's why I kind of need to talk a little bit about statehood for D.C. and why we at ADVIA support it. It is because when we have veterans that live in the district, they don't have senatorial or privilege of representation in the House or Senate. Eleanor Holmes Norton is granted privileges in the House, which can be revoked from time to time and have been revoked, depending on who's in control of the House or Senate.
I don't think veterans is on top. I don't think the care of veterans or veterans' issues is on the top of her list.
I get that, but I'm moving on besides that. I'm looking beyond who's in the current office and what she's doing right now. All I'm saying is I'm trying to explain to the national...
I'm not moving on from that because she represents the District of Columbia.
No, wait a minute, Marilyn. I'm trying to explain the civics of how your city works to the national audience who may not be aware. So please, just let me explain the civics, and then I can let you go on and talk about the personics of the current job. You don't have a congressional representative. This is why when we speak up and speak to our congressmen, we should also ask them to consider statehood for the District of Columbia. That aside, Marilyn, what is it that you want to say about the delegate from D.C.?
The way you were saying move on, like, you know, really.
No, I'm trying to explain why she could not really be that effective. She can ask questions, but she can't get any answers because they don't grant her full privilege. The full rights of someone in the House. She's just a delegate. She's not even a representative.
But you know what, Dr. George? You may be correct that she's just a delegate, and you may be correct on that. But one thing I learned when I worked for Mr. Marion Barry, that a lot of this crap is who you know. And if you're not working together on a team as a team to fight, You have no fight. So if you're not working together as a team, you know, a lot of stuff is who you know, okay? So if I know you, I can talk to you. So, you know, right there, no, she may not have a physical voice, but she have a team, and she got people that she knows. So, no, I'm not going for that. I've been in the government.
No,
the government is about who you know, buddy.
I'm not trying to give her safe harbor either. But see, that I can't say that for her because that was your experience with her, but that was not my experience with her.
That's just like the D.C. Department of Veterans Affairs. We don't need that crap. It's no good to me to the veterans of the District of Columbia. It serves no purpose. It's a waste of money. Money they could be helping veterans in other issues. They do nothing for veterans. So why are they there getting money from the government that we claim that D.C. lying about money they don't have? D.C. got more money than the fucking, excuse my mouth, D.C. got more money than the law allows. They can tell these other people or these strangers here they ain't got no money. But they can't buy it by me. They got all kinds of revenue.
Somebody tell me with some money.
Excuse me? Say again?
I said they're paying somebody's salary with some money.
They got plenty. All these people coming in out of the District of Columbia.
They got plenty of money.
They got all this kind of revenue coming into the city. They might get away with that with some guest members, but not with this one. D.C. got more money than you can realize. Now, it might be going in some pockets. They ain't got no business going in, but they got plenty of money. They made a lot of money off the Million Man March. They made money off of the basketball, softball games, all that crap going on at one time. You got all these people coming here running marathons. You got the Marine Marathon. So they can't just tell me they ain't got no money coming in. Now, where it's going might be a $1 million question that somebody might want to look into. But other than that, just a couple, so you ain't got no money? Oh, no.
No. I'm not trying to give them safe harbor to say they don't have no funding. Now, they got funding. I agree with you. The seat of the United States government, they're going to have funding.
You ain't got, hello? Now, what happens to the funding, that might be who pockets the funded land in. Now, that might be the situation. But D.C. got money. It's just too much traffic and stuff coming through D.C. for them not to have no money. So, that's all I'm saying.
I would tend to agree. Because, you know, it's the fact of the matter that they want you to believe that they got no money. But the thing is that we know the seat of the United States government always has money.
Hello? They got money anytime they can bring all these refugees over and give them food stamp. Well, we can't get it? Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
Oh, my God.
What?
The phone was about to die there, telling me it was at 1%. This is why I keep telling T-Mobile that this broadcast, you want to offer $50, it has to be much, much more.
Yeah.
I keep trying to tell them that our broadcast is not something to be discounted.
Right. Because I'm glad I didn't switch. I was getting ready to. I'm glad I didn't.
No, but the way that they act, I've been telling them since Friday that something's wrong with the phone service. You know, you and I talk off and on the air each and every day. When you know me, they just not respond to you.
No.
Yeah?
No, I don't.
Okay. I call you, I can't get through. I call Doris, I can't get through sometimes. I'm telling people that on air that I'm having difficulty with my equipment. Now, I don't know. I'm not trying to give anybody a black eye. I'm not trying to be nasty in commerce, but I'm just saying.
I don't know why the hell you ain't trying to give one. They're giving you one. Terrible. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, give them the stink eye. Today on Capitol Hill, we've got a phone call. We've got our CFO.
Who is that?
That would be the lady from Lake Elsinore, Miss Trumpet. How are you?
Yes, sir. I have been patiently waiting for you two guys to acknowledge me. But I guess the phone is so messed up you can't see anything that's going on. But Marilyn, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I think if there's a way we can reach out and find a way to bring all the female veterans together so they can do something to change the situation, because we've got a lot of us. How can we set up something where we can get our ranks together? We've got to find a way. We have to find a way. We have to reach out to every state and
What about our vehicle for why don't we start fielding questions from the lady, women veterans, for the Operation Thank You, which is the presidential and vice presidential debate together, so that we can bring about an effective change. You know, this thing, we got to bring it to a point that they got to answer a few questions. So we will invite them to a debate in September.
Okay.
In the meantime, while we're going along during the year, let's try to field some of these questions and bring about this discussion on veterans events.
Okay, that sounds good. But at the same time, Marilyn, maybe we can find out how to go about getting in touch with all the female veteran organizations, reach out to them, and see if we can compare notes and see how many of them in each of their states are having problems such as ours, and see what we can do as a group.
Yeah, which is fine, because first of all, these women's organizations got to be wanting to help with more issues than just finding damn jobs.
Of course. Of course.
We're working on more kind of and trying to find us a job instead of helping us get the proper treatment that we need at our local VA health center. I mean, our local VA medical centers. Because these women's groups, I'm so sick of them. Every time you turn around or every time you try to get some, their main concern is to help somebody get a job.
Really?
I don't need no job. I need my proper health care treatment. Hell with a damn job.
If you got proper health, you can get a job anywhere.
All the ones in D.C., they just want to help you find a job. They don't even want to help you with issues you got going. Because they work for a lot of the ones here, and the women organizations I've run into, they work for the VA, not the veteran. So first of all, a women's group that's sincere trying to help veterans instead of working for the VA. Now, when you find that type of women's group, then we might can get somewhere. But the ones they got here in D.C., their main concern is they work for the VA, not the veterans. The ones I've seen here in D.C., the ones I've ran, they got a lot of women's organizations here in D.C. because I just went to one. They got one here called the Center for Women Veterans, a major one. They got Women's Veterans Rock. But they're not interested in these type of issues. Their concern is getting you back to work because that's what they're getting funding for. See what I'm saying? These women organizations need to get their priorities together first.
Right.
Find out, okay, well, where can we help a woman veteran? Because a lot of us, jobs are not our issues. We're trying to get proper health care. But their main concern is trying to get you back to work. No, I don't need your help in that area. I need my health care treatment. I need to be able to get counseling. I need to be able to get equal treatment as our male veterans. That's the kind of women's organization I'm looking for. I'm tired of these fake organizations. I have no problem because I took the lady and the one that worked for the Women Center for Women. Oh, she was irritated with me, but I didn't care because I'm tired of those type of groups. You know, we need people that's going to help us. Getting jobs is not our major issue here. So, you know, when you want to start working on real women issues, let me know. What I like to do is learn how to start my own women's veterans group that are for women's veterans issues and not working for the VA. That's what I'm trying to do. I just don't know how to do it. But
okay. We're going to have to find somebody. We're going to have to find somebody that can help you do that. We're going to have to look around, search around, knock the bushes, and see what we can come up with as far as that's concerned. Because I'm sure there's somebody out there that knows how to do that.
Yeah,
so we're just going to have to find them.
Yeah, because these women's organizations, they're not about they're not about us getting assaulted at the VA. They're not about us getting
mistreated at our local VA. Their concern is getting you back to work. Really? That's what their concern is. Cause every
half
time
of us are not even half of us are not even in the state to go back to work. So what are they talking about? Are they talking about the Iraqi veterans and them only? Because most of the other veterans cannot go back to work because they're not in condition to go back to work.
Yeah, but they're not, the women, these organizations are not working on that because they're not getting funding for that.
Right.
Now you they're not getting funding. I think, like I said, and I don't care, I think a lot of them work for the VA, not the veterans. Because the ones I've talked to here in D.C., that these type of concerns I have as far as, you know, as far as stuff like privacy, stuff like that, that's not a bit, that's not what they're here for. They're here to, you know, because I stopped going to these women's veterans programs because they're for, these people work for the VA. Okay. That's just
so in other words, they have their own agenda, and it does not have anything to do with what we need.
No, that's not their concern, because I bought these issues up at a lot of the events they have, but they just, you know, give me the stink eye. Look at me like, that's not what we're here for. So
uh-huh.
I can't help you with that type of stuff. You know, me and safe need to be safe at the VA. No, we're not. That's not what we're here for. So,
that's,
you know,
crazy.
Not the stuff that they're fighting for. They're fighting for funding to get you back to work. That's all they ever talk about. They don't talk about.
Okay. All right.
You know,
we and I are going to get together, Marilyn. You and I are going to get together so we can see how we can make some changes.
You know.
We've got our issues, but we'll go along and do what we can until we can make a change. We're going to put a dent in this mess because it's got to stop.
Even at my VA, all we doing is, you know, even, like I said, our VA, there's no representation. We don't have representation. We don't have nobody that have the fight that I have. That are not looking for the safety of our female veterans. No liaison. We don't even have a good women's coordinator. She works for the VA. Anybody works for the VA, to me, I don't think is there to help.
Or she blocked me with the time that it took to get for her. She can't go during the daylight hours to her VA to get a chest X-ray.
No, you mean I can't go after daylight? You can't go
after
business.
You can go from 3 o'clock on.
That's in the evening. That's after daylight. You were saying I couldn't go during business hours. I can go if I get there before 3, after 3 o'clock, and then the chief of the Dr. Barth, B-O-R-T-H, he says that he can't guarantee you that, and then he was trying to tell me that nobody wants to work on that shift. Oh, there's, I said, certain now there's people looking for jobs, so that would be a problem. You got a lot of people that don't like to be here with people like you. Because there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians during the daytime. Everybody wants to be the boss. Some people don't want that. I used to work in a hospital, so I know. I said, you're not going to tell me about this crap. You know, you can get a female chaperone. No. Because they're not going to, if there's any inappropriate activity, that person, and since you can't fire your VA employees, there's no need in making a complaint. Because it's not going to go anywhere because they're not going to deal with the – anytime the DCVA can pay doctors top dollar to disrespect you and refuse you treatment because you asked for a female tech to do a chest x-ray, anytime the DCVA can continue to pay these people, what do you think? Me going in and reporting any type of sexual abuse is not going to go anywhere. Anytime you allow the doctors – and they get paid top dollar at that hospital, at the VA. They get paid top dollar to mistreat the veterans. And, then, you know, they get paid big bucks for that. But there's nobody at the DCVA fighting for veterans, safety or anything, especially female veterans. And they don't even take in consideration about sexual assault, military sexual trauma, what's that other thing, domestic violence. They don't care nothing about that. You still got to see whoever they have on the payroll. And I don't think that's fair. Because I have both military sexual trauma and domestic violence. But do you think they care? No. No, they don't. And I told the chief, I said, you all don't give a damn. You don't even take in consideration about military sexual trauma, domestic violence, or the fact that a female just don't want a male to do x-rays on them. So we don't have, and I said, just because it says you have a right, it doesn't apply to this VA health care. It does not apply to this VA hospital. He tried to assure me that it does. I said, no, sir, because you're not the one getting mistreated. And then you got some of your female are mad, get mad with you because they had to stay a little bit late to do your chest x-ray because the hospital refuses to hire one.
Mm.
You know, you got the female techs getting mad. Got mad at me, and I told you, don't come here with it. You know, you here to do a job. You don't work for me, and don't come here and take it out on me because they asked you to stay over because they refused to hire a female tech. Don't come here and take it out on me. It's not like, and you still getting paid, but it was a Friday. See, black people don't like to work past Friday. Their time on the weekend, you can forget it.
They run for the hill.
That's right. Don't dare ask for nothing. You know, but I said, you know, I know you don't intend to deal with this situation because I'm the only female veteran that has a problem with it. And like I told me, it irritates me that I'm the only one. How the VA, you know, the women here, anything y'all say, they go for it. I'm not doing it. Well, then he said, well, what would you do if it was a female doctor, male doctor in the ER? I'd leave. How about that? I'd use that hole to carpenter cut and get the hell on about it. Well, what if you're severe? As long as I'm unconscious and don't know about it, fine. But as long as I can open my mouth, I'm gone. That's what I do. I said, they thought I had pneumonia and fluid on the lungs, and I refused the x-ray. So, what'd that tell you? But I should have a right. You say, I have a right, but it doesn't apply at the DCVA. You don't have that right. I don't care who claims it. You don't. And like I told him, I can't speak for no other veteran but myself. I don't have that right. Now, if other veterans got it, that's fine. You know, but they got a problem with me anyway here because I stand up and speak up for myself. And I don't let them pee on me and tell me it's raining. Mm. No, I'm not these regular Joe Blow female veterans you got coming in here that say, oh, you can do anything you want to me. Hell no. I have rights and you're going to learn how to use them. That's what I tell them. I said, these other female veterans, don't mind a male. That's their choice. I have a problem with it.
No. Yeah, with your history, you should take that into consideration.
Yeah, but they don't even take military sexual trauma into consideration. What makes you think they're gonna take anything else? And as long as we keep saying it's okay for the male to do it, you'll never do your job. I told them that. As long as these females say, yeah, okay, I'm gonna let them do it this time, you'll never do what you're supposed to do here. And I'm not them females.
But if they know you're coming in and they know that's your history, they should have somebody there for you that will work and not cause you a problem. They should be
prepared
for you.
We should have a female on staff, period.
Yeah.
We should have a female on staff, period.
Yeah, tell me, well, I can't guarantee you that. Oh, okay. Well, you will eventually because I'm not losing this.
That's what I'm talking about because now what's to say another woman veteran will walk in there with a need?
But see, like I said, women, they accept anything. A lot of the female veterans, they don't stand up for themselves. They don't stand up for their rights. You know, they go along with the program. I'm tired of going along with the program. Like I told him, I was the one that got a female stenographer in here. Because you're not going to do no. They used to tell me the same thing when they had a female stenographer. We're not going to get one. Okay.
No.
You're not? Okay. You know. But, yeah, we're not going to get a female stenographer. Oh, you're not? Okay. We'll see. A female sonogram tech. Oh, you're not? Okay. And I used to refuse them before I knew what to say. Now I know what to say. I'm not refusing it, but you don't have a female technician. You don't have a proper employee. So, no. And
you don't have the proper things you need to proceed.
Yeah, you don't have the proper staff. And so reason I started saying that because if I say I refuse, then they'll put it down that I refuse. And they used to do that. Now they don't do that no more because I tell them, no, I didn't refuse. You don't have the proper staff. And the women's coordinator, what does she care? She getting ready to get up out of there. So what did she get? Nothing. Nothing at all.
So she does nothing.
No. But see, because she know that you cannot fire VA employees.
Yeah.
They'll fire the VA employee that they don't like. They can get rid of them. But they won't fire the doctors for patient abuse or any of that. And Dr. George know that's true because they said it at the health care summit in last year. The doctor said
I bet you they'll do something once those patients start going off on them.
But
once some of those doctors get hurt, they'll stop.
That's what I'm saying. I always say it takes a tragedy to make a change. You know.
Yeah. Because that's ridiculous. You don't know what a patient is going through, especially those with PTSD.
It should never be that way. You know, and that's how I know they're
that way. It shouldn't have to be that way because they should know all of these patients are not totally wrapped. You know, they have war injuries. They have problems.
Yeah, but when you do that, George, then you get in the category I'm in.
I know.
Then they want you and put all these flags on you, and
it affects the care you get.
Yes, Lord, I know that. I try not to go
there. They label you, yeah.
Yeah, but now what I start doing is I write these doctors up to the medical board because I know the VA will not take any action against these doctors. The DCVA allows them to do whatever they want to us. They allow that. They can treat us. The doctors can abuse us, and it's okay with the DC healthcare system. It's okay with it. Because we have no rights in DC. I don't care. We have no rights here. It's a damn shame. Damn shame. And when you start speaking up against this stuff, then it doesn't do no but come back to hunt you. But I feel, you know, one way or another is going to have to make a change one way or another. It has to. It has to. But we don't, like I said, we don't have nobody. What I'm going to do is try to go back through Mr. Martin and see where that get me. I'm going to call the women's coordinator tomorrow. I'm going to call everybody. And everybody that I, this is why I tell you the patient advocate is no good, no fucking good. Because I wrote a letter, when I wrote that doctor up with the medical health board, I wrote a letter to everybody at the VA. No one has signed my, no one at the DCVA has signed my yellow
petition?
Card from the police. You know, you should confirm signature for them to sign. No one has responded to that yet.
Wow.
No one has signed the signature page. Not even the women's coordinator. Not even the head of the patient advocate. That's why I say I don't believe in the patient advocate. It's a joke.
fucking jail.
Well, I know at mine you can never reach them. At my hospital, you can call for God knows how long. Don't even think of it because you're not going to reach them. And if you leave a message, they don't call back. I had to tell the doctor the other day.
Yeah, I
know they don't want me to come to you.
I don't call. I go face to face. I'm a face to face woman because I know phone calls they don't answer. I already know that program. I don't even go to that show. No, I don't call. What the hell am I gonna do that? Because you're right. You're not gonna get a response by phone call. You have to go in and physically sit down with these people. But here in D.C., doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter. Because here in D.C., they so used to doing their own show. See? They so used to getting away with their own show. No one polices them. No one does anything to these people. Like I said, they can do whatever they want to you. And the VA condones this. They condone it. I really believe it. I don't care. I've told anybody that. They condone it. If they didn't condone it, they'd be making changes. So that's how I feel that they condone it.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't nobody vote. Again, one person. They condone it. It's not just the D.C. VA. I'm just the only one that's making an issue. But they don't, and it's gonna take something drastic to happen before they realize that this is a problem. By then it's too damn late, and you got a dead veteran and other people, so they don't know how prevention will never be the cure, will never be the deal. Prevention will never be the be done. And now I got to go back to the other clinic that I went to see what can be done. You know, I'm talking about it on this radio show. I'm talking about it with the, now I've called in the local news station as well because this is, send that. And then, because if we tell it on this station, which is a veteran radio station, we get the local media involved, that's the only way it's going to happen. That's the only way. You know, it's just like anything. Once, if people feel that you don't have nobody in the corner, they will take cold-hearted advantage.
Mm-hmm. Call around to the different TV stations and see who want to listen to the story.
Oh, yeah. Well, I called one lady first because she told me, so I got issues like VA come. She wants the story first. I don't have a problem. But
yeah.
That's what we have to do. We gotta get all media including especially us. You know, that's why I'm here first.
Yeah.
Come here and not talk about it because this is utterly, utterly ridiculous. Ridiculous. Really? The nation's capital? This is how you appreciate your veterans? Really? Well, let me say your ladies' veterans, but then you want to get out here and act like you're doing something so grand because you have another weak-ass, I'm mad, because you have a weak-tail women's veterans. Who cares? This is what women veterans, women ladies' night out. Really? You know, Dr. George, you was at it last year. You saw that, and this year they're going to have the same problem. They're going to have the same crap this year. Same thing. These people at the same stations, giving massages, giving that. Who can, that don't mean nothing to me because my health means more to me than that. So if you're going to tell me that my health, that this devilish ladies' night is more important than my health, you know where they can shove that ladies' night.
And that's one day a year.
Yeah.
One day a year.
That's it.
Like someone was saying the other day, this Veterans Day is beautiful, but why don't you spread it across the 365 days a year? Different places, different times. Don't have everybody showering you with whatever, not one day. You can't really appreciate it that way.
No. And that one, I mean, it's nice. It's nice they thought about it. But then what happens after Veterans Day?
Nothing.
What happens after Veterans Day? We go back, you know, to being treated. We go back being treated like crap at our local VAs. Really? What is the purpose of us bringing up? We're still being treated less than citizens, less than human beings. You know, I mean, really. I should be able to be treated like this, like, you know, I mean, really. And then if you have anything on Veterans Day, as soon as Veterans Day over with, it's done. You don't hear no more about it until next Veterans Day. Like, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we should be dealing with issues like I'm having at my VA. Fix those
on
an
ongoing basis.
Huh?
I said on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, fix those type of issues. You want to help me out? There's no excuse with me being mistreated or not getting the proper care that I need. You know, that's what I'm talking about. You have all these veterans organizations. They're not for us. They're for the money. It has nothing to do with us. It's about the money that they get and the funding and stuff they get. It has nothing to do about helping changing lives for veterans. Not as you're a combat veteran, you might get a look. You might get a little luck, but non-combat, hell no. You know, and now I've learned that you got a lot of non-combat veterans in the same boat that some of us. I mean, you got a lot of combat veterans in the same boat that we are. There's a veteran that's in the Wounded Warrior Project. He got to come out of pocket for his own devices, for his wartime injury, really? So that raises the question, what are they doing with the money? That's why I don't donate to Warriors or anybody else. Because when you really talk to the veteran, they're not getting the money. Anytime you got a Wounded Warrior coming out of pocket for something,
Wounded Warriors make a lot of money. Wounded Warriors have so much money. There should be no problem. They get from everybody. They get from everybody.
They're like the DAV. DAV has a lot of money.
Yeah.
When I was at the convention, I just sat there and listened to all the money. That darn Golden Corral gave the DAV a lot of money.
Yeah.
When I sat there and heard the kind of money that they gave to DAV, I could have passed out. Because all that money you giving to DAV, you could have been helping a veteran that needed the help. DAV don't need that damn money. Where's it going? Dr. George, where's the DAV money going? Do you know?
It's going on projects like we had one that they spent $50,000 on, the Mexican-American Memorial.
What the hell is that? We need food.
They spent the money on, Joyce. Isn't
what
that one?
Excuse me?
Food.
What?
And one of the projects they spent some of the money on?
I would love for them to spend.
What money they spending on? Really? Really, they do? I ain't seen the way they help nobody. The people they help, I ain't never seen. I don't know, but I just know from, you know, you got veterans need help with housing, they need help with food, they need help with this, and they need help with that.
They can't do that kind of stuff. That would be too much like being good. They can't do that. They prefer they prefer to take your money and spend aimlessly and wastefully $50,000 on some godforsaken piece of what? Concrete? A piece of concrete to say a bunch of people was in a war? One group of people was in a war and you spent $50,000 on that piece of concrete?
And you got
don't give me no concrete. I don't want the concrete. Give us the money so we can enjoy it and do what we need to do to make our lives better.
But then
pieces of concrete you're building, we don't need
it. They're only doing it for people who went to war, really? Those are not the only people served in our military. Really?
Let me see you do one on those veterans who have not went. Do a memorial on that one. Never will happen in this lifetime. Not long as I'm living it, I don't think
they don't
never
even need all those memorials. They don't need all those memorials. Use that money to further the lives of the veterans that are now alive.
No.
The ones that came back, the ones that are alive, do for them. Do for the veterans that need homeless, food, better health care system.
There you go. And use that money to stop telling veterans that you're not sending their damn claims up to the regional. If you want to use that money for something, how about that? Use money for that and stop refusing veterans' claims to go to the regional office. Huh? You want to use that money for something? Let me show you how to use it. Telling veterans we can't send your claim forward and they can't pay their damn bills. Really? That's what you need to use. You want some help to know how to use that money.
You think that's bad?
Oh, that's too much like right, George. That's too much like right. We only.
That's right. It's too much like right. And Dr. George? Dr. George? Would you like to tell her about the disgraceful situation I told you about last week? Because I can't talk about it again. It makes me cry. Can you tell her about the 60-something-year-old man? I can't talk about it. It breaks my heart. I break down crying because I'm really depressed right now.
Yeah, no, I didn't get a chance to tell her about it because, it's ladies' night. It's the first time I've really had to speak to our hostess, and we're still live on the air, ladies, so we can't go but so far. But it's the first time that I've had a chance to be with Marilyn, and I really hadn't talked about that because we had other topics. But the thing is that there was one situation with one old guy. They were not giving him any help. None, Marilyn. It was heartbreaking.
Giving him no help how? Who, the VA?
The VA or anybody else. And Joyce can't really talk about it because when she starts talking about it, she gets emotional about it because it's really, really hard.
Is it our friend?
No, it's not one of our friends. It's a total stranger. But he's a veteran. And that's what really bothers me. He's a veteran, an old veteran, and a disabled veteran with one leg. One leg.
People like that, they need to come on the show and tell their story. You never know who's listening to this thing. Come on, tell your story. Tell your story. Like I tell people, when you go before the Veteran Board of Appeals, you go before the judge because nobody knows you can tell it like you. Sweet. Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get the story after we get off the air, Dr. George.
Yeah. But, we've got to have an agenda here to make sure that we get our stories heard. Because, this is a shame. We keep running into these situations. She was as upset as I was when we were in Denver and going down the street and finding all those veterans on the street. That story added to that of what we actually saw. It was that bad.
Well, I'll tell you what, because see, if I'd have met that one, I'd have filmed his story and put it on the book. I would have did. You ain't nobody help me? Let me get this started and help you get some help. But yeah, that couldn't have been me and he got away scot-free like that. Nope. I'm going to tell it. You tell me. I'm like, what they call it? Tell a woman, tell a friend, and telegram. That would be me, tell a woman.
Telegram.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to help you get help. Really? You really want help? Let's do it. Couldn't be me, girlfriend. Couldn't have told me his story and let it go like that. No.
We have work to do.
Couldn't have been
we got work
yeah.
to do. We got work to do because it's something. You know, you got people out here from coast to coast that are suffering, and we are doing our best to make sure that they get help. And it's a case-by-case scenario. But see, the thing that she saw came, and I think it was TV, wasn't it, Joyce?
No, I'm my counselor.
Counselor.
I had an appointment with my counselor, and she could not come to keep my appointment because she had to deal with this emergency, and that's what the emergency was.
Oh, okay. But
very, very bad. Very, very bad. Very, very bad. Very bad. In this here United States. In this here United States. And they tell you, we take care of our own. Don't leave a man behind. No man left behind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You don't leave him on foreign shores, but you bring him home and put him on the street.
Bring them home. Bring them home from where? Because those were not the only people in early service going through that, people.
That's true.
Bring them home, really? No, we all go through. And he's probably a combat veteran, really?
He is.
Okay, well, you know.
Brought him home and dropped him on the street.
Yeah, well,
you know
see,
what I mean?
I'm not even going to go there. That's my mouth. Because I don't need you too mad at me, so hello.
They don't take care of nobody. A veteran is a veteran is a veteran. It don't matter if you're wartime or peacetime. A veteran is a veteran. I don't really see the difference, really, except that you've been in a different country, period.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to go with that.
No, people make a...
Keep it calm, Mr. Myself. Keep it calm, Mr. Myself.
No, I can only say that they say, wartime veteran because the person became ill or sick or whatever during a war. Okay. If you ask me, America has always been at war and she's still at war, so what's the difference?
I bet you $100 that he... he is a combat veteran. I will bet you $100.
Most likely he is.
All right then. So that's why I say I'm gonna keep my thoughts to myself and I live longer. And I don't know the story.
Got lost in the system. Like so many other people, got lost in the system.
You know what?
There's no excuse for that.
Let me say, I don't know if anybody saw this, and I don't mean to change the subject, but VA hands out 9 million in bonuses since 2011. More than 12,000 administration employees in several states have received nearly $9 million in bonuses.
What are they getting bonuses for?
In 2011.
What are they getting?
But yet and still, we can't get. Here we go.
You're getting the bonuses for those houses and things. In Philadelphia, it's stuff
somebody
like that. $300,000 bonus to kids so she could keep her house in D.C. and get a new house in Philadelphia, too.
Okay.
They're making
these people
rich at our expense.
They have named names. First of all, to add insult to injury, the fiscal year 2009, the year President took office, VA spending was, $100,000
too many numbers for me to even try to remember. I don't know how to do it. But doing this, I don't know how to even I don't even know how to count them in dollars, okay? There is 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 zeros, okay? So I don't even know how to call that. Krzyzewski, the United States Affairs, Eric Krzyzewski, rescinded of 9,345 hours of a top executive for the Phoenix VA healthcare system in the wake of the allegations of delayed care at the Carl H. Hayden Medical Center. In a statement released Wednesday, the Department of Veterans Affairs announced that the incentive pay has been intended for Sharon Halen, the Phoenix System Director, but it was canceled after determining it has been issued due to administrative error. Isn't she the director of the Phoenix healthcare system? Huh? Hello?
Isn't she what?
Sharon Halen. She is the Phoenix healthcare system director, but they canceled it after determining they had been issued an error. So does that mean she got to give all that money back?
No, most likely not. I doubt if she's going to have to give the money back.
Well, they said it was canceled after determining. It's too late. You probably spent the money. Anyway, 2011, the following facilities alleged receiving bonuses according to a report by OpenTheBooks.com. Edward Hines Jr. Hospital, Cook County, Illinois, got $4,135 million. I tell you, you ain't in here.
They said $1 million?
$4,356 million. The Malcolm Randall VA Medical Center in Gainesville, Florida got $575,400, and they don't have a number, so I'm assuming $1,000. New Mexico VA healthcare system. Albuquerque, New Mexico, that ain't even in the damn United States, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Mexico, so you don't need a passport to go to New Mexico?
No.
New Mexico's a state, Marilyn.
Okay, well, anyway, it's 2,000. They got $2,646 million. The Gulf Coast Veterans Hospital Healthcare Center Home, Biloxi, Mississippi, got $247,103,000. The Miami VA healthcare system, Miami, Florida, got $334,987. Fort Collins Outpatient Clinic in Fort Collins, Colorado, got $150. Really? They could have kept that. Phoenix VA healthcare system. Phoenix, Arizona got $843,000. And that was in 2009. Yep. This is ridiculous. Look at that. They got the money laying on the table. I'm good. This is, this is where the money is going. And why the beyond me?
And we wonder why we're having a hard time getting medication for our vets. Now we know. So some of that money could be going to cover some of the medical costs for our veterans.
Exactly.
ridiculous.
No mention of how much. No mention of how much your VA got, huh?
$50.
There in the Washington D.C. area. $50.
Well, I want to say $50 according to that, but they got money because they keep fixing up the same daggone hallways. So that's where their money going, fixing up the downstairs hallway over and over and over again, instead of cleaning up them damn bed bugs on 3D East. That's where their money goes.
Yeah, I guess what I'm talking to.
You know, I really do. I hate my VA, but I just. But money is not used as a priority. The money going into fixing the same hallway over and over and over and over again.
And it could be used as a priority, but, you know, some people like the definition of insanity. By doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah. Just, you know, really, they don't have, well, they don't have the priorities in order. But now, you know, it's really a shame. You know, it really is. It's a shame because you know, really, and no matter that thing that really got me is that it still doesn't negate the treatment of veterans. You know, I'm not gonna say men don't get mistreated, but it's more females than men at our VA. I sit there and look at it, and I look at because I look at my treatment, you know, and mine's gonna get worse. I speak up, so my treatment is going to really go down here. You know, I've been labeled, I've been marked, you know, because I speak up for myself, you know, really. So it's just, like I said, it's just really, really, really same thing. You know,
well,
ridiculous.
The end of today's show, folks. We will be back tomorrow at 2300 Zulu, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, 5 Mountain, 4 Pacific, 3 Alaska, 1 o'clock Hawaii, 9 a.m. Guam. And we will be back with the full broadcast tomorrow on benefits. We want to thank you for listening in with us and rolling with us this afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, ladies, get your parachutes ready, because it's almost that time. And so we're just about out of here, folks. So we will be back tomorrow. Again, same bat channel, same bat station. Okay. No. Thank you.